Well, to round out today's show in recognition of Veterans Day this week, Old Mole's Denise Morris and then Jan Hawken are going to be talking about Jan's latest documentary, Mind Zone, Therapists Behind the Front Line. Denise and Jan?
Thank you, Joe. Mind Zone, Jan, is your film. It's Mind Zone, Therapists Behind the Front Lines. The film is now streaming on Amazon and iTunes. So this is another reason for us to be talking about it, because people will actually be able to see it. And it's an amazing film that digs into a subject that is sorely underlooked at and not very well understood. Let me tell folks a little bit about it. It follows members of a U.S. Army Combat Stress Control Unit as they deploy to Afghanistan to carry out two missions, protecting the psyches of soldiers on the battlefield while keeping these same soldiers in the fight. And Jan, you actually began working on this film, developing this film in 2009, and that was following the Fort Hood incident where Major Hassan killed 13 soldiers on a military base. But essentially, your interest was more the everydayness of these stresses and the psychological impacts, and also the handling through psychology and therapy of soldiers in combat.
Yeah, and this case was interesting at the time for a couple of reasons. He was a practicing Muslim himself, experiencing enormous stress about an upcoming deployment. I ended up following over a period of close to a year through training and then deployment to Afghanistan. The unit that replaced his unit that had been scheduled to deploy, many knew him who were part of the 113th Medical Detachment. That's a combat stress control unit. But at the time, in the left or anti-war movement, portrayed him sympathetically as this soldier who had gone off the rails under the enormity of the pressures of war and as a PTSD victim. The other side, of course, predictably portrayed him as a Muslim fanatic, a terrorist, a psychopathic killer. He was described as someone who was not really in the military, even though the history of soldiers killing other soldiers is also a part of the military, including during the Vietnam War and previous wars. But he was seen as very much an enemy within. So I was interested in the competing psychological narratives about troubled soldiers, but also getting away from some of the narratives that came out of the Vietnam War of the soldiers coming back as walking time bombs, the psycho vet killer, or the tragic vet who has just completely fallen apart, and just kind of the everyday mental health issues in the military. And the military had been doing a lot around all these repeated deployments. I mean, during that time, mental health in war zones was part of military planning and had become very extensive. They had gone through a big campaign in the Army to destigmatize seeing mental health practitioners. And that was one reason the Army let me do this project, which was a first for them, was they were very proud of all of this mental health service, including in war zones. And I became interested in, well, is this progressive, what they called the new army, the kinder, gentler, more nurturant army? Is this an indication of progress, or is this obscuring other and deeper ethical problems of therapists in war zones who are still serving the mission, which was getting those soldiers back online?
One of the quotes that just resonates is from one of the more main subjects in your film, who is a major, or he's a top ranking therapist in the military, and you kind of follow his story in the U.S. prior to his deployment and then in...
Colonel Rabb.
Yeah, Colonel Rabb, thank you. He describes it like this. He says, like a gun, you have to break it down, provide maintenance to the soldiers psychologically when there is a jam. The job is really to help soldiers clear their minds. The analogy with the gun,
the weaponizing
soldiers,
of the mind.
It's mind-boggling. And this is state of mind for the process of providing restorative therapy.
And of course, machine metaphors have a long history in psychology, and particularly psychologies that seem more mechanistic. But, you know, we all use metaphors that we draw from the world around us to describe more elusive processes. But I think you're also picking up on a deeper issue in terms of how the mental health practices were very much in the service of keeping the machinery of the military operating. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting to me to see how this ethical conflicts around that, that have been talked about since Freud, and that was another pitching point with the Army. Like, there's a military literature over a century on, can you ethically do this? Can you ethically respond to individual suffering and still serve the machinery of war, which is to get people back, at, because it's very expensive to get those service members out there. And their main job is to just keep them going, keep them in the fight, maintaining the fighting forces. And that's been true for at least a century. Psychologists have been involved in that. And my appeal to the Army was, well, the public has a right to know. And this conversation, that's a very open discussion about the ethics of that in military literature.
I still kind of can't believe that you were able to do this. When people see the film, they'll realize you were in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Filming, and we want to give a let's give a shout out to Caleb Heyman, who you know very well, who is your son,
yeah,
who was your DP on the production, and a whole host of folks who were involved in this project. Yeah. But to actually be there,
and it was I think really important. There were Jeff Richardson, the other camera operator, came with us. We had a fairly small crew, spending so much time that year preparing for deployment, and then some time over there when they were coming in for the handover, replacing the previous unit. I was really impressed with so many service members who also work together across race and gender lines, who have a kind of commitment to working together. Salary differences are fairly minimal in the military. You know, there was a lot that was very impressive about how people work together. I mean, if it weren't for this purpose of serving war,
sure,
and serving wars that are, in retrospect, many, if not most, would see as unjustifiable, but it really involved my coming to terms with some of my own stereotypes about the military. And for my son and the other young man, I took over about the same age, you know, spending a lot of time talking with service members who were there.
These are people who are of our community, they're family members. Much of the debates that are happening now around the protests in the NFL and taking a knee and disrespecting the flag and the veterans, some of the pushback is, you know, we are those people, or those people are our family members. So we're interconnected.
Yeah,
deeply.
And there's been a lot of conflict, ambivalence, as well as active resistance against different eras of warfare. Next week on the show, there'll be a discussion of Ken Burns' recent series on Vietnam War. One problem with that series is it did not focus enough on, or at all really, on the operational side of warfare, even though it did emphasize resistance and conflict within the troops during the Vietnam War, which I think is really important to note. PTSD now is often framed as a reaction to a discrete confrontation with a threat of violence, but often the distress reactions are much more elusive and tied to sources of conflict about the war itself, often, or the mission itself. At any rate, most of the previous films, including the one documentaries, including this recent series by Ken Burns, focus almost exclusively on the infantry, on the fighters. And yet, about 80% of the service members in the Vietnam War and in these recent wars are operational. They're there to support the infantry, the fighting force, and keep those fighters going. And it's phenomenal just seeing the massive number of people that are there to support a relatively small number of actual fighters. And I was interested in those people. That's why the behind the lines has that meaning as well.
Right. And the dividing line is the wire. If you go outside the wire, or
yes,
across the wire, I forget how they say it, but
yeah,
that's the dividing line. So behind the wire is this massive support group.
Yeah,
support
we were team in Kandahar in that forward operating base, and there are all of these outposts of small groups of soldiers. And then they'd come in for some kind of treatment or help, and mm-hmm. then go out again.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot raised in the film, and I hearken back to a scene with some Vietnam vets who are actually somewhat shocked at the number of deployments that soldiers do and can't understand how in the world anyone could stay sane. For the Reader's Digest version, how do you stay sane after all of these deployments? And one thing that's raised in the film is that really the process of getting the soldiers back into the fight is very quick. And there are quick steps. And they mention a 3-day reprieve program where you can go and rest and relax. And one guy says, 3 days?
And that's as, you know, that's as old as World War I. It was called forward psychiatry. It's basically three hots in a cot. But it's kind of dressed up with some other techniques now. But the idea is to comfort, to allow a kind of temporary regression, they used to call it, into kind of the maternal fold of mental health, and then get them back into daddy's war. But the critique of that also, I think, overlooks how limited psychology is, including in dealing with the aftermath of war. And I wanted to emphasize that point. I think overall mental health services have been oversold as an antidote to the impacts of war, either immediate or long term.
One of your psychologists involved in the ethical portion
the commentator
says the crashes have consequences. That's very true.
And a very, very long half-life. So I'm glad it's available now. And I think it also is meant to apply to other places where we use psychology to try to keep people healthy in very unhealthy places.
Right. Well, thank you, Jan. Jan Hocken, director of the film Mind Zone, Therapist Behind the Front Lines, which is available now for streaming on Amazon and iTunes. Thank you.
Thanks.